Good morning. God's grace. Thank you, choir. That's one of my favorite songs. I feel like I can just sit down now. It's good to be here this morning. And I want to thank Pastor Parrish for this opportunity to stand before you and preach God's word. I also would like to thank my wife, who is sitting on this side. Pat, she has supported me for 46 years. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time spent with you in preparation to preach this word. I pray, dear Lord, that the words of my mouth will be pleasing in your sight. Bless these, your people. Let them hear from you. And we will forever give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My text comes from the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version. And it reads as follows. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. Amen. My subject is raised with Christ. Raised with Christ. In my text, Apostle Paul speaks on the importance of right thinking and the sacrificial work of Jesus the Christ. Faith in Christ secures our salvation and provides power for living. We should approach life with faith in Christ, not the world's values that try to add to what Jesus has done. We once were in the world, but thank God that we have been raised with Christ. Amen. You may be asking yourself the question, how does this text apply to the practical man? And should we not be concerned with material needs? Come on. To answer the first question, we look at Mark chapter 8. Jesus says, "For whomever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In essence, all of us are going either to heaven or hell. I could spend all day on that second question, citing examples of how God provides for our material needs, but I will quote just one scripture, and that is, "But God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says that we have been raised with Christ. It is because of him that we are new creatures, born again.
Say so.
This rebirth wipes the slate clean, and gives us an opportunity to change our lives. Some things in our lives we can't change. For example, our families. We don't get to choose the situation that we are born into. We don't have much control over that. But with our friends, we have more control. If someone is pulling you down, you don't have to continue to be their friend.
Well,
with our jobs, control may depend on the circumstances. But with our image, that is something we can control. Who we are to others. If we want to change, Paul says, we should seek the things that are above in heaven. He also says that we should set our mind on things above.
Amen.
But this time he's talking about spiritual things.
Well.
We are not to focus on the things that are on earth. This would be like physical needs and activities, things of the flesh. Jesus came to earth because our physical needs caused us to sin. God sent Jesus to show us a better way, to show us the way to eternal life.
All right.
Once we are raised with Christ and we make up our minds to follow Christ, we soon find ourselves locked in a physical battle with Satan. Why, you ask, does Satan come after us? Well, because following Jesus leads to eternal life in heaven, whereas Satan has already been condemned to spend eternity in hell. How many of you know that misery loves company? Your next question might be, preacher, what do I have to do? I shall point out what you have to do. But first, let's talk about what we must stop doing. We must put to death earthly habits such as sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. How many of you knew that when you covet something that someone else has, that is idolatry? It is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming. If we be honest with ourselves, all of us were guilty of one or more of these things in the past. But thanks be to God, we have been raised with Christ and we have begun our Christian journey.
Go ahead.
We are walking up the King's Highway. Hallelujah.
Come on.
But each day, we are tempted by Satan to return to our earthly habits.
Mm-hmm.
Although it may appear to be a physical battle that we're fighting, following Christ is actually a spiritual battle.
Well.
If you want to win this spiritual battle, we have to stay focused on God.
All right.
We are not the first people that were tempted by Satan. Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert. After he had been fasting for 40 days, Satan tempted him by saying, "Command these stones to be made bread." Satan was trying to get Jesus to focus on his hunger. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Amen.
Then Satan took him to a very high place and said, "Jump from this pinnacle, for it is written that he," meaning God, "will command his angels to break your fall, lest you strike your foot against the stone." Jumping from a high building is a physical battle. Jesus said, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test."
Mm-hmm.
Next, Satan took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Then Satan tempted Jesus yet a third time by saying, "Fall down and worship me. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." Wow. What a smokescreen that is. Was Jesus not there when the world was created? How can Satan give Jesus something that Jesus himself created? Well, Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan. It is written, you worship the Lord your God and serve him only."
Well,
then the devil left Jesus and the angels came and ministered to him.
Amen.
Jesus did what James chapter 4 verse 7 said, resist the devil and he will flee. You can conclude from all this that Satan knows the word, but he twists it for his own purposes. You must know the word also in order to discern what is right. You must put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, because we have put off the old self with its practices. We have to be regularly prayed up and study God's word, and we must have faith and trust in God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now that you know the things you should put away, let's look at the things we should put on. We should put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
Amen.
In the new self, we will find that Christ is all and in all. We have to put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We have to bear with one another and forgive one another the way that Christ has forgiven us. Paul is urging us to live a life worthy of the calling we received when we were raised with Christ. We are to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. Bearing with one another in verse 13 translates from the Greek to mean to hold oneself up against or to put up with. So we are to endure, forbear, and suffer with one another. When we bear one another's burdens, God is pleased with us.
Amen.
This is an essential part of developing and maintaining unity in the body of Christ. But Paul drew a line by denouncing heresy and immoral living.
All right. Come on.
We must put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which is the reason we were called together in one body. It also says, be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing you in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Amen.
These thoughts are intended for the local church. However, they apply to families as well.
Amen.
Does this make sense to anyone? Maybe you have been staring at something bearing down on you like Elijah and David did. You know, Elijah ran from Jezebel, and David ran from Saul.
Amen.
Both these brothers were anointed and had God on their side.
Go ahead, Joseph.
If you have been running, you should start now, looking at the problems from the perspective of heavenly places. If you don't, you will submit or surrender to these challenges.
Come on now.
It's all about the mind.
Go ahead.
Unless we change our approach and learn to think and live in the spiritual, we will lose the battle with Satan. We won't even recognize his agenda.
Go ahead.
Remember, all we did was make a decision to follow Christ. The battle begins once we make that choice, when we choose to follow Christ. Satan is looking for believers. When he finds us, he will try to kill, steal, and destroy. If Satan can get our minds, he can dictate our action. Church, we must set our minds on Christ and his truth.
Amen?
When we suddenly find ourselves in the middle of a spiritual battle, it is sometimes difficult to walk with the confidence that Jesus gives us. In battle, the thought of peace does not come easy. When we are under attack, all we see around us is chaos. We may begin to fear and have doubts about our future. We may feel like our relationships with our spouse, our children, our friends and acquaintances are crumbling. We may be stressed out about our finances. We may be worried about how we're going to pay for the bare necessities. We may have concerns about our health deteriorating. And these things have a way of coming down on us at the same time. At times like this, peace is not the normal response. Worry is. God has given us the keys to the kingdom, but because we are not prayed up, we don't know how to apply God's word to our situations. Church, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
Amen.
Because he trusteth in thee.
Say so.
Isaiah 26.
Amen.
We don't have to create our own internal peace. We don't have to force peace to come upon us when we are shaken.
All
we have to do is set our minds above in heavenly places. Set it on God and his power, provisions, purpose, and protection.
Amen.
When we do, God has promised us peace.
Amen.
As peace enters your thoughts, our minds will then guide our feet. We will walk in the peace that comes from knowing that God has got everything under control.
Amen.
Church, think about this for a moment. If Jesus only died on the cross and did not rise again, all of this would be for naught. Trusting in God would be for naught. Looking to God would not have as much meaning because the future would still be uncertain. But we can face our spiritual battles with confidence because Christ not only died on the cross, he rose and ascended into heaven. And he promised to intercede to the Father on our behalf. He promised that where he goes, we shall go also. He has granted us understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Our victory is in the fact that Christ lives and he lives inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
It is my hope that if you didn't already know what to focus on when you're under attack, that this message has been helpful. When we first give our lives to Christ, we are making a choice. We are like a newborn baby that drinks milk. As we grow, we must learn to nourish our spiritual bodies with something more substantial than milk. We must learn to eat the meat of the word in order to prepare for the battles that result from our choice to give our lives to Christ. We will go through tests daily while on this Christian journey. All the while, we will be learning to make better decisions. You are free to choose how you deal with each test, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice. The answer to all these tests are in God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand.